morning, everyone. Welcome. Today is May 12th, 9 a.m. to the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors. We will start with a pledge. If everyone could stand for the pledge and then remain standing. And Pastor Michael Douglas from the Servants Church will then do the invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our representatives on the dais today, for the sacrifices they make for us and for the sacrifices of their families as well. Pray that you would grant them great wisdom during their deliberations today. And Lord, we pray for peace in our neighborhoods and prosperity in our business community. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Douglas. Okay, we have a lot of stuff going on today, a lot of presentations. We're going to start off with Jennifer with regard to the Milk Advisory Cooperative Extension.
Good morning, Mr. Good morning. Chairman, Supervisors, Chief Executive Officer Risen, and, County Council Doering. And thank you for giving us a few minutes to talk about the milestone that we're celebrating, the Cooperative Extension is celebrating here in Stanislaus County. My name again is Jennifer Hagee, and I'm a farm advisor with the University of California Cooperative Extension. And 2015 marks our 100th year in partnership with Stanislaus County. So because not everyone knows what Cooperative Extension's role is within the county, I'll just give a brief history of how we came about 100 years ago, because really our core mission hasn't changed much. So our history starts with the fact that universities used to be for certain kinds of people, doctors, lawyers, intellectuals, if you will. Then in 1862, Congress passed the Morrill Act, which created land-grant universities. UC Davis is a land-grant university. So these universities were different than the established schools because they were founded on three radical ideas. The first being that higher education should be open to all. This included women, minorities, and the working class. Second, universities should teach practical subjects like farming, engineering, and home economics. You can see how this type of university would be really important to the early California landscape when we were just getting involved in agriculture. So in this slide, you'll see a young man is writing a letter to his dad telling him everything is good at school, and he concludes with, P.S., you're planting the corn all wrong. So it's just a funny illustration that really ingrains the philosophy that land grants had is it should be practical. We should teach things that people could go back to the farm, to their communities, and really make their communities thrive. So, and finally, the third idea was that universities should share their knowledge with the people throughout the states, not just with the students on campus. Iowa State University was actually the first to implement a traveling farmer institute. And here, this is just a depiction. They had something called a corn seed train where professors would actually board a train, ride it through Iowa, and talk to farmers about corn. Farmers would get in and on and off at their respective stops. So finally, Cooperative Extension comes in 1914 with the passing of the Smith-Lever Act. Cooperative Extension was and still is a nationwide system of community-based education and research established in each land-grant university. So here in California, we're always a little bit different, so we required two things before we could get a farm advisor, the first being funding from the local government, like Stanislaus County, and the second was the organization of a farm bureau to help guide the local advisor in what the issues really were in agriculture at that time for that place. So this is just a side note. This is how the California Farm Bureau Federation got its start, and that's how we're actually entwined in history. The Farm Bureau had to be here for a farm advisor and for Cooperative Extension to exist. So a year later in 1915, the first farm advisor arrived in Stanislaus County. So 100 years later, UC Cooperative Extension is a partnership with USDA, the state of California, and the local government, and it really is a partnership in research and educational outreach. So essentially, Cooperative Extension is Stanislaus County's local door to the resources of the entire University of California. So over the last 100 years, Cooperative Extension has evolved to meet the needs of our clientele and our community. One of our current roles is to improve production efficiency, so more product with less inputs, less water, for example, less fertilizer, less impacts to the environment. On this slide, I have just a few of the highlights from some of our advisors, from working on drought practices in orchards to controlling invasive grasses for local livestock producers, evaluating silage management and feeding practices on dairies, and of course, increasing science literacy among the youth of Stanislaus County, because we really want to start from the ground up in getting the next leaders for our county. So if anyone has any questions or would like more information about our advisors or our programs, I'd invite you to give us a call. I have the website up here, cestanislaus.ucanr.edu. Visit us on the web, or just come in and see us over on Cornucopia Way. So with that, I'd like to thank you again for giving us the time to celebrate this milestone and really for partnering with us for the last 100 years. We look forward to many more years of partnership.
Thank you, Jennifer. Any questions for Jennifer?
Can I comment?
One comment.
I have to comment about the cooperative extension. I look at ag, and we've been very successful over the last 40, 50 years. We've seen some real gains in production. And I can tell you the greatest advances we've had were because of the cooperative extension and nutrient management and pest management and propagation of varieties. We've relied so much on the work you do because it's unbiased. Also, it comes with credibility. What you say comes with credibility. So I have to, again, I know Supervisor DeMartini will probably say something, but we are very lucky to have you here, and you're a very, very, very important component of ag and the success of ag here in the Central Valley.
Thank you.
Jim.
I've had a lot of experience through the years working with the Extension Service, and certainly do a great service for agriculture here in this area and probably throughout the state. I've participated in research trials and I've attended integrated pest management meetings, and the advances that we've had in agriculture, we can correlate those directly to the UC Extension's research and education, different ways on how to grow the crops and fertilizer, irrigation. I can remember when I was in high school, we'd had almonds since, I think, the 60s. And we used to go out after harvest in November and put all the fertilizer on right then in November. It was very convenient, but it didn't work very well. Now we put it on four times a year and at different times. And it was really because of the research, the UC Extension, that it showed us how to use nitrogen better. So anyway, you did great work. We look forward to the next 100 years.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. If you want to come up here, we'll give you a... Okay, so on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, we want to congratulate you on your 100 years, and everyone you heard from Jim and Vito, and everything you guys do here, we appreciate, and we couldn't be here without you, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Here's your resolution.
Thank you.
Okay, next up will be recognition of May 11th through the 16th is Salvation Army Week, and we have Major Kyle Trimmer. Major Trimmer, how are you?
I'm well, Mr. Chairman. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Thank you so much for seeing us today, and thank you for bestowing this honor on us for the National Salvation Army Week. But it goes much further than a National Salvation Army Week. This year, the Salvation Army celebrates 150 years of service to mankind. Over 100 years, over 120 years of service in Stanislaus County to those that we serve. We want to thank you for joining with us and partnering with us over these many years and seeing that the needs of people outweigh sometimes the needs of those things that may seem more important in our life. The Salvation Army here in Stanislaus County serves a variety of people from child, we like to say from the cradle to the grave, beginning with our Child Development Center, that we see children, up to 60 children a day, to serve underserved children in our Child Development Center. We also serve over 200 meals a day through our feeding program at our facility on 625 I Street. And our lives are touched and are moved by the people that we see come through our doors that need help from energy assistance to just general everyday needs. shaving kits and toothbrushes and those types of things. And, of course, we're overwhelmed, and we're pleased to be a part of this community with our homeless shelter, where we serve over 100 people in the evenings during the winter time, as well as about 70 people during the summer times. Those lives that many in this room and certainly you have touched, that you've reached out to those that are less fortunate. You know, I look at our homeless population here in this community, and I see the difference and the changes that people like you and people in this community make because they care, and they have a heart for those that are less fortunate. And, of course, we're blessed with our Red Shield Community Center. This week, as we celebrate the National Salvation Army, there are men and women, boys and girls on the streets today for Kids Day, that facility in Modesto that services underprivileged children and underserved children and their families, where a swimming pool was built in order that it might prevent children from drowning in the canals. And so we're pleased to be a part of this community. We're pleased to do the things that God has allowed us to do in this community. And we're proud to do it alongside people such as yourselves and the residents of this community. And so we want to thank you. Thank you for what you do through this community, through what you do in this county, in the name of humanity. And so the Salvation Army wishes to continue to join alongside you in those things. And thank you for your years of service.
Thank you, Major. If you come on up here, we'll have a... Major, thank you again for all you do. You know, you thank us, but it's government can't do these things, and it happens because of people like you and organizations like you. So we thank you for everything you do. And on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, we congratulate you on Salvation Army Week here. Thank you. Okay, now it's our Employee Service Awards, and we're going to start off with honoring someone 35 years of service. And Kathy?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chairman Withrow, Supervisors, CEO Stan Risen, and Mr. Doering, thank you again for having us here today to recognize our employees. This is my very, very favorite part of what I do each and every day. The first employee I'd like to recognize today is Phyllis Camboya. Phyllis has been employed with the Community Services Agency and the county for over 35 years. And it's really my pleasure to be able to present this because Phyllis and I have worked side by side together for those 35 years. Phyllis was hired as a typist clerk in our income maintenance division and very quickly promoted to an eligibility worker one. And that's really when I got to know Phyllis because she was my desk partner. She's a very kind and caring individual and provided incredible service to her customers as well as her coworkers. She was quickly promoted to an eligibility worker two and then an eligibility worker three, and finally into the classification that she is today, eligibility supervisor. Phyllis is much more than an eligibility supervisor. She has been a unit coordinator for the United Way campaign. She has received commendation for her commitment to mentoring line staff through the Supervisor Mentor Program, and that's truly what Phyllis does each and every day. She's a teacher, she's a coach, and she's a guide. She's been chair of our Outreach Committee. She's been co-chair of our Cultural Heritage Committee. She continues to oversee our CalFresh Tech Team, which is a technical team providing guidance on rules and regulations related to the CalFresh program. She is also coordinator for our CSA lobby open house, where we have multiple providers come once a month and provide services to our customers. She's bilingually certified in Portuguese, and she's also an evacuation team leader. Everyone who knows Phyllis knows that she's a person of integrity. She's fair, she's trustworthy, she's caring, she's ethical, and most importantly, she's very approachable. She has a way with words that captures and brings out the best in people. For these reasons, she is well respected and loved by her staff, peers, managers, and just about everybody that knows Phyllis. She's made a lot of friends through her years at CSA, friendships that actually go well beyond the walls of CSA. As a coordinator for our CSA Lobby Open House held every first Monday of the month, she has formed partnerships and established good working relationships with agencies throughout the county. Phyllis is also very much involved in our community. She has volunteered for the United Samaritans in Houston to prepare meals and help serve those meals on their food truck. She's also involved with St. Anthony's Catholic Church in Houston and has volunteered for many different things throughout as her children were young and growing up in our community. Phyllis shares openly and with excitement how much she loves working with the county and that she plans on working a couple more years. I'm going to talk her into a few more than a couple more years. Upon her retirement, she plans on spending time with her husband and taking care of her mother. She also plans on reading, watching movies, cooking, gardening, but most of all, spending time with family. She's a first-time grandmother, so she's looking forward to spending more time with her little granddaughter, Riley, and watching her grow. So Phyllis, congratulations and thank you for your 35 years of service with the county. It has just been my absolute pleasure to work with you side by side over those 35 years.
Thank you, Kathy. Phyllis. Phyllis, thank you very much for the 30. I'll let you come over here a little bit closer. We got to get in front of the symbol here. So we congratulate you on your 35 years. You know, you just don't anymore have people that work 35 years at a single employer, and we're very thankful for you here. And now I'm going to give you a chance to talk a little bit yourself, introduce family, whatever you like.
Thank you so much. I just want to say that the 35 years, they went by so fast. And I think the reason they went by so fast is because I loved working for Stanislaus County. It was the best decision I think I've ever made as far as employment. And I've gotten to know so many people. I've learned so much from my managers and from supervisors that I've worked with and from my staff. And it's just been a wonderful opportunity and a pleasure to work for Stanislaus County and for the Community Services Agency. And yes, I was the desk partner of Kathy Harwell, and you wouldn't know it. That was back in, 79 or 80? And she became our director, so she's done great. But anyways, thank you so much.
Okay, Kathy, you're up again.
This is so fun. I get the honor of recognizing Sulu Limbach for 25 years of service. Sulu began her employment with the county at General Services Agency in February of 1999, but we know all employees end up at the Community Services Agency. They either start there or they end up there. She began as a stock delivery clerk, and her duties were pulling and filing orders, data entry, and delivering supplies to various locations. She was then promoted to an account clerk 3, and she had a lead. She was a lead there, and her duties consisted of billing, ordering supplies, and distributing mail. In January 2011, CSA was very, very fortunate when Sulu came and joined our team. She is an administrative clerk, too, and she's assigned to really serving our customers at our Turlock office, and I can't think of anybody better to be there each and every day to greet those customers. She assists with reception coverage at East County, Scenic, and West Modesto offices as well. Sulu enjoys working with the community. She just likes meeting people. She's kind, she's caring, she's respectful, and she just makes you feel good. She's positive and gets along well with everyone. She's wonderful, and she has a humorous personality. She's always about teamwork. She always is willing to lend a helping hand. She has great customer service skills, and she's got a great rapport with our customers. She's received many thank yous, written thank yous, from our customers over the years. And again, she always makes people smile. Sometimes it's stressful when you come into our office. Sometimes it's tough for our customers. Sulu's respectful, and she makes it comfortable. She's also a great cook, so if you ever want to come by the office and have some good food, all of her coworkers always look forward to her main dishes or desserts that she brings for potlucks. Community involvement. Sulu's all about being involved in the community. She's been teaching hula dancing to children for over 22 years. She's part of the, and I'm going to probably say this wrong, so I'm going to need her help, Naona Oki Awana Group. Is that, no, you want to say it? I knew. I'm going to practice that even more. The group performs at multiple retirement homes, rehabilitation centers, and nonprofit organizations such as hospice. They also do a lot of community work, including collecting donations for the military and the homeless. Sulu plays the ukulele. And her family participates in all these activities by either dancing, playing, music, or singing. So I'd like to congratulate Sulu on her 25 years of service again, and thank you for coming to CSA and being part of our great team.
So I'm going to do something that we normally don't do. I'm hijacking the meeting, taking over for the chairman at this point. I have known Sulu for more than 20 years. My wife's family, the Vargases and the Leinbachs, lived on the same streets. My wife and her siblings grew up with the Leinbach children, graduated high school with your daughter, Crystal, and just have known the Leinbachs for so long. And it's a great honor to be able to present this to you today. Sulu is an expert hula dancer. And last year's Christmas party, she decided to teach us. And there's probably not too many county employees who say they got their county supervisor up there doing the hula. But Sulu did. Sulu's also a resident of District 1. And so it's a great honor, Sue, to present you with your 25-year anniversary certificate. Thank you so much. And I know I'm going to regret this, but I'm going to give you the mic.
Do we have time? I just wanted to say thank you to the county for hiring me. I didn't know I would last this long, but it's been an awesome trip. I've met so many amazing people, and my dream is to keep meeting more amazing people. I'm really nervous, but it's been fun, and I thank everybody for being here. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, next, Pam. Pam Esparza, yeah.
Good morning. Good morning. Chairman Withrow, board members, Mr. Eisen and Mr. Doring. Okay, usually I'm pretty loud, so. Okay, there we go. My name is Pam Esparza. I'm the Chief of Consumer and Family Affairs for BHRS. Thank you for the opportunity to present Ms. Sheila Allen to you today. I've had the privilege of working with Sheila for over 10 years now, and it's been a pleasure. She is one of my role models. A little bit about Sheila's work history. She started off in the early 90s at that great place, the Sunshine Place, that we all know and love and miss, as a recreational therapist, and eventually became the coordinator there. She went on to the Employment and Housing Program in 1999 and has been there ever since. Sheila has contributed to many committees throughout the years there at BHRS. Earlier this year, she was reclassified as a staff service analyst to align with her duties now, but I think she's a recreational therapist at heart. I went through her personnel file and found some documents that represent her work that were in there. It's a wonderful, these are quotations from there, it's wonderful to work with this, with such a responsive employee, and she is a well-kept secret. Sheila's one of those employees that flies under the radar, but works very, very hard. She never complains. We receive state funding, this program, and the amount of data collection and reporting is just arduous. And there is a quote in there that says, I just checked the website yesterday, and to date, only one county has completed their submission. Hooray, Stanislaus County. So she gets us recognized. Because of this, when Sheila came to the Housing and Employment Program, there was only one Shelter Plus Care voucher, and this is similar to a Section 8 voucher, but for persons with disabilities that we serve. She has helped grow that program into over 100 vouchers, and this has a huge impact into the on the individuals that we serve. I strive to have Sheila's work ethic, and I just want to say congratulations, Sheila, and thank you for your dedication to serving your community with such enthusiasm. Thank you.
Sheila, congratulations on your 25 years. You know, I'm working at, sorry, over here by the symbol. Working in BHRS, I know it can be a very rewarding and probably a very taxing. And anyway, we very much appreciate all your hard work and hope you hang around with us for many more years to come. And I'm going to let you talk.
Well, I just want to say that it seems like just yesterday I started working with the county at Sunshine Place. And I remember that I was informed that I would be working probation for a year. And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, that's such a long time. And here it is, 25 years later, and I'm feel like yesterday I started. I have to say that I think I contribute that to a lot with the working environment, the staff in Sunshine Place and housing program. The staff and as well as management has always been supportive and compassionate. And I think that's a big thing when it comes to when you're working with folks who we work with. I also like to thank the board. And as well as management, to acknowledge all people who, for the years of service, because that's very important. And I appreciate this. Thank you very much.
Okay. Next up is Cherie Dockery. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, Cherie? You did.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Chairman Withrow, board members, Mr. Risen, and Mr. Doring. I'm Cherie Dockery. I'm the Associate Director of Behavioral Health and Recovery Services. I have been given the pleasure to introduce Chan Lee Pauline New, a licensed clinical social worker, for her 25-year service award. Pauline began with the department in 1990 as a clinical services technician in the Modesto Counseling Center. She promoted to a mental health case manager in 1994. In 1998, she went back to school and received her master's degree in social work. And in 2004, she received her license. Pauline, in 2014, she received her LVN license also. She decided she would go back and get something else other than mental health. Pauline is currently working with the Community Emergency Response Team. She is passionate about her work, and she prides herself on her natural ability to advocate for her clients and their families. I've worked with Pauline for several years, and she has always had a calm demeanor when we're in the middle of a crisis. And she believes in recovery, and she believes in teamwork. It is with great pleasure I present to you Pauline New.
Pauline? Colleen, congratulations to you on your 25 years of work in BHRS. Again, we know how hard that work is there, and we appreciate all you've done, and we hope you're going to be around a long time. So thank you. We'll let you speak.
Thank you, everyone, for being here and supporting us and celebrating our achievement. And I just wanted to say that when I first started with Stanislaus County, I didn't know that I was going to stay this long. But then as my opportunity broadened, I couldn't think of anywhere else where I could advocate for people who are underserved and underprivileged. So I said, yeah, even, you know, other places seems a lot more enticing personally, but I think Stanislaus County and working for the county is where I could best advocate for those and giving back to the community. And Cherie, thank you so much for speaking on my behalf. And teamwork is important, so is family. And with that said, I'd like to acknowledge my sister who came all the way from Sacramento just to help me, you know, celebrate this. Thank you, Kat. And thank you, everyone, for being here. I see Pete Duane is here, too, my former supervisor. Thank you for being here. Thank you, everyone, for continuing to support us.
Okay, and next up is Jeff Rose. Jeff, there he is, okay. Jeff, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Good morning, Chairman Withrow, members of the board, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doering. Thank you for joining me this morning in recognizing Alliance WorkNet employee Ralph Vasquez for 25 years of service to the county and the county's residents. Ralph started working for the county in 1989 with the then Department of Social Services, so I guess Kathy was right that everybody either starts or ends with the Department of Social Services or CSA. He transferred to the then Department of Employment and Training in 1993 as an employment and training specialist, and later transitioned to a family services specialist and has worked in that same capacity ever since then. While Ralph has had many assignments in his years with the department, he has really found his niche in his current role as a career resource center representative. In this role, Ralph assists members of the general public who come into our computer labs to do job search, work on their resumes, research career opportunities, among other services that we make available to the general public. And many of these folks who access these services have been unemployed for a long time, and they're struggling with unemployment and the depression, hopelessness, and homelessness that often result due to the lack of a job. And Ralph has the unique capability of being able to listen sincerely to them, to empathize with them, and provide them hope when they're just about hopeless. Some of the people who come into the Career Resource Centers feel that they have tried everything to find a job and are skeptical that we can do anything else to help them. And Ralph has a unique sense of humor, which seems to help break down the defensive walls that they've set up, and they often leave the Resource Center with a renewed sense of optimism and a smile on their face. This sense of humor that Ralph has is much appreciated by his coworkers also, as it helps to keep the mood light and positive in an environment that can sometimes be, or is often, very heavy and very serious. As an example of Ralph's sense of humor, we actually have two Ralphs who work in the Career Resource Centers, and they have come to refer to each other as the bad Ralph and the good Ralph. And Ralph Vasquez very good naturedly takes on the title of the bad Ralph. So in closing, I just want to say thank you to Ralph for his commitment to helping unemployed residents of Stanislaus County obtain jobs, thus improving their quality of life as well as the quality of life in the county in general. Thank you, Ralph.
This is a workout just to get up that little hill there. Come on over here. That's right. Well, Ralph, thank you very much for your 25 years. You good? Okay. Here we go. Okay. For your 25 years, listening is a skill that we all need to do better, and it sounds like you're very good at it. And we appreciate everything you've done, and I'm going to let you talk here.
Well, I'm thankful in my 25 years with the county that I was able to touch a couple of people's lives, and I just want to I'm glad I have the opportunity to thank Stanislaus County for giving me such a good life. I've been able to support myself and my family, and just I had a great run, and I'm looking forward to many more years on the way. So thank you so much.
Is there any family? Did you want to introduce any family? Do you have any family?
My mother, Elvira Vasquez, is here, and my sister, Patty Vasquez, as well as I want to thank Jeff Rowe for speaking on my behalf, and my supervisor, Susan Peterson, and my program manager, Adolf Lopez. They're all here, so I'm very thankful.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay, thank you, all the presenters, and congratulations to all the employees for the years of service. We will now move on to public comment here. Anything that is not on the agenda that you'd like to speak about, and we have 5 minutes to speak, and I have one card, John Mataka. John, how are you this morning?
Fine, thank you, sir. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. My name is John Mataka, and I'm a member of the Grayson Neighborhood Council. First of all, congratulations to all the employees for all their service. I want to briefly talk about, this month is a celebration for Older Americans Month. So that's seniors. And I found it a little ironic that this would be a celebration of Older Americans Week and that the only senior group that applied for community development grant funding for the healthy heart program, the exercise program, was the Young at Heart, program, was denied a grant this year from the community development grant funding. I thought that was a little ironic to celebrate it like that. Now, out of those seven grants, out of those nine grants, seven of those went to programs to assist youth intervention. And that's very important. Don't get me wrong. Our youth are very important. And the other two went to one to a homeless and another one to a food assistant program. But I want to say this. What about the seniors? That program is going to be cut in the outlying communities. Modesto has different funding through Kaiser and United Way. But that funding is going to affect the communities of Grayson, Waterford, Ceres, Patterson, Newman, where seniors, can't, take a bus into Modesto to do that particular exercise program. More than 1,450 seniors participated last year, and 35% of those live in the outlying areas where the cut was made. So that's over 500 seniors that are affected by that. Now, the other thing that I want to briefly share with you is this, is that, one thing that seniors do is vote. If there's one group that votes on a regular basis, it's seniors. Now, some of these seniors where I live, they walk to the center to do that exercise class. Now, you want to talk about prevention, let's talk about it. When you have a senior that exercises and has and builds up their muscle tone for 3 days out of the week, they're less likely to fall, and end up in the hospital. They're more able to take care of their personal needs at home and not need in-home care services. So I'm going to throw this out to you. If one senior falls and gets hospitalized, you're going to talk two or three times the amount of that $20,000 grant to fund that program. If two seniors need in-home care services, you're going to pay that $20,000 easy. So I'm just going to say this and close, is that seniors vote, and I know I can speak for myself. I don't vote for any politician that cuts services to one of our most needy groups in our community. And I think there's other seniors listening today that feel the same way. And we know, you know, don't say you're going to celebrate Older Americans Week and then cut our programs. And that was the only senior group that applied for funding, the only one in the county. So, you know, I don't know, you know, ultimately this board made the decision, and I don't know who was on that committee to give you that, but you guys should have caught that. So anyway, thank you.
Thanks, John. I have no other cards. Anybody else like to speak, public comment? Very good. We will move on to consent calendar. Is there anyone who would like to pull an item on consent calendar? None. Anyone from the audience would like to pull anything from consent calendar? Okay. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. We'll move on to item B8, Jamie Akers.
We got it. Good morning, Chairman Withrow, board members, CEO Risen, County Council Doring, Jamie Akers, Director of Environmental Resources. I'd just like to say before we get started here that while DER is presenting this item, it in no way, shape, or form was a solely DER effort. And if I may, I'd like to take just a moment to say a thank you to the members of my team and the additional members on our team that made this possible. First of all, Mary Mayhew, who wasn't able to be here today. Also joining me at the table, Brian Kumamoto. He's our Solid Waste Division Manager. And Fidelis Gines, who's sitting behind us. She's our Chief Number Cruncher in the department with respect to solid waste. And in the Chief Executive Office, Stan Risen, thank you for your guidance along the way. Keith Boggs and Tara Chumley were also part of our team. And lastly, Tom Bose with the County Council's Office. And with that, we'll go ahead and get started. There were times where we never thought we would get to this place, and we're very happy to celebrate this agenda item today. By way of background, the county has basically three components to its solid waste management system: the Fink Road landfill, the waste to energy facility, and the household hazardous waste facility. Each of these are necessary in meeting the state mandates for having adequate disposal capacity, our solid waste management planning efforts, as well as our waste diversion efforts. It's necessary to participate in both the waste energy facility and the landfill to support these infrastructure components. It's basically a package deal. And that's because the tipping fees not only fund these current operations as well as the state mandates, they also fund the ongoing post-closure and corrective action activities associated with the Gear Road landfill. And that's the county's closed landfill site. Clear back in 1990, which seems like eons ago, the state passed Assembly Bill 939. That was the legislation that required the 25 and 50% waste diversion mandates. And in order to make these things happen, we started partnering with our cities way back when, so well over 20 years ago now. We formalized that partnership in the form of an MOU agreement in 1994. And then we pursued another regional effort in June of 2001, where we formed a JPA to have a regional agency between the county and the eight cities, excluding Modesto. And we did this because it allowed each of the cities, to share in the county's excess diversion credit so that everyone met the 50% mandate. Over the past 2 years, we have looked at forming yet another regional effort with our local cities. And we were doing that because we know we have sufficient waste volumes to adequately supply both the waste energy facility and the landfill. However, the lower tipping fees in our neighboring counties were diverting a large portion of our local waste in recent years. So what we did was we put together a 10-year model that would ensure that we could meet our contractual obligation at the waste energy facility, and that's for 243,300 tons annually, as well as providing sufficient waste to the landfill to cover operations and maintenance. So when we're talking about the waste that the regional agency cities can control, and that is the franchise hauled waste, the proposal includes directing 62% of the waste to the waste energy facility and the remaining 38% to the landfill. The plan proposes to utilize the county's share of rate stabilization funds of $2.3 million over the 10-year period to reduce the waste to energy tipping fee. The plan also incentivizes the cities at the landfill, and we will do that by increasing the volume of waste and thereby lowering the tipping fee, which makes us competitive with out-of-county disposal facilities. And it should be pointed out that this is a contract rate only. The gate rate at the landfill remains unchanged. The department is planning future agreements with the three local transfer station owners so that we can retain the balance of the non-franchised municipal solid waste that's produced here locally. This is waste that's not covered by the franchise agreements. In addition, we are also planning to meet with the City of Modesto to negotiate a similar MOU agreement so that they can receive the same tipping fee reduction as the county and the other eight local cities. We'll be bringing back those agreements to you in the very near future. In March, we were successful at receiving tentative agreements from the eight local cities. And given that, in mid-April, we met with the local franchise haulers and transfer station owners to formalize what our new reporting and tracking protocol would look like, what the changes to the billing would look like, and what a quarterly true-up process would look like. And that's because when the waste arrives at the landfill, or to the scale house, if you will, it's in large trucks, of course, and we don't know the origin of the waste until sometime afterward. So there's a delay between when the waste arrives and when the reporting trues everything up. During the months of April and May, each of the cities has taken council action and approved the new regional solid waste disposal plan MOU. And our goal is to have those finalized and effective June 1st. We have a substantial amount of in-county waste that is received by our transfer stations but being exported to out-of-county facilities. So the department is requesting authorization to negotiate a disposal agreement with the local transfer station owners to retain this waste for the county's landfill. So with that, our staff recommendations today, first, to approve the Regional Solid Waste Disposal Plan Memoranda of Understanding with the eight regional cities, to authorize the board chairman to execute the agreements, also to terminate the disposal agreement with the City of Newman, reducing the landfill tipping fee during diversion periods only from the waste energy facility. And the reason this is necessary is that this was a concept that we tried a couple of years ago. Newman was the only taker, if you will, and it was just another form of an incentive that we were trying to offer, but the new agreements essentially make this one no longer necessary. And then lastly, to authorize the Director of Environmental Resources to negotiate with the local transfer station owners for the acceptance of the non-franchise waste to supplement disposal of waste at the Fink Road landfill. And with that, we'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Very good. Thank you very much. Any questions of staff? Very good. Any questions of the public of staff?
Mr. Chairman,
I'm sorry, Jim, I missed you there.
See, I just wanted to ask you, you know, in that last staff recommendation where you're going to negotiate with the transfer stations, where are they taking their waste now, to Merced County? Is that
The majority of it goes to Forward Landfill in San Joaquin.
Oh, San Joaquin.
Mm-hmm. But some has also been going to Merced, you're correct.
Where do you expect to go, you know, with this negotiations that we're authorizing you to do? I mean, you can't force them to take their waste here in Stanislaus County.
Correct.
Is it some type of incentive you're looking at, or what
they would
exactly
be,
do you intend to do?
They would be offered the same landfill tipping fee rate that the partner cities are being offered. And we think that that's competitive with outside agencies. And it's not our goal to attract sort of, you know, a whole lot of waste or more than we need. In fact, the agreements would have a ceiling tonnage, if you will. But basically, it's the same per ton rate that the cities would be paying.
You know, it was like 10, 12 years ago, we were concerned about waste coming in from Bay Area. And now we're just trying to keep it within our county there to keep our facilities running. And they have things change.
Yes.
Okay.
CEO Risen.
Yeah, I just wanted to take a minute. Sometimes these agreements seem rather simple once they finally make it to you, but pretty complex behind the scenes. This particular item took well over a year and a half to negotiate. And I just want to add my appreciation, first of all, to you as a board for your patience and your flexibility and support as we work through this, and then to the leadership provided out of my office, Keith Boggs and Tara Chumley. I don't know how many countless spreadsheets that Tara ran running different scenarios, and then to DER staff, Jamie Agers and Ryan Komodo, Fidelis, thank you, and for Mary. And we had some very challenging meetings, and this was a difficult one, and I just thought I'd be remiss if I didn't take a moment just to acknowledge the efforts of so many in this effort. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other comments from the board?
I think this is a good agreement. I know it's been a long time coming, but, you know, it gives the cities their waste diversion credits. It operates our contract for our waste to energy plant of what we're required to deliver, and it also partially funds the Gear Road landfill closure. Now, I think it's a good agreement, and I'm glad to see that all nine cities have signed on to this.
Very good. Supervisor Chiesa.
Supervisor DeMartini said something that's about a few years ago, we're fighting importing garbage, and we probably would have come up against this again had we not been able to come to this agreement. And at first blush, you would think that garbage that's going to another county is good for our county, right? It gives us longer landfill capacity. But we know now with this agreement that the 530,000 residents of Stanislaus County have won. It gives stability to the county, Gear Road post-closure on Gear Road landfill. It gives the cities that geographically have a disadvantage, it gives them an out on some of the tonnage, which I think was very fair for Riverbank, Waterford, and Oakdale. And we're dropping tipping fees by keeping just our garbage here. There's no conversation of importing garbage to make the 243,000 tons at the waste energy plant, which has been a huge advantage for us with the 10% diversion credit. So, a year and a half to get there, at least that much time. Big win for all nine cities and the county on this one. I'm very pleased, and it's difficult to get to these outcomes sometimes, the pain of going through it. But staff, Keith and Tara and Jamie and Stan, I thank you guys very much, and to the board. I know we've been very patient, but remember that the cities and also the partner of the city of Modesto with the waste energy plant, our relationship has really not ever been better. So I want to thank Jim Holgerson and the Modesto City Council.
Thank you. Also, I just failed to mention that this also provides a household hazardous waste program for all nine cities, which is an important program for people.
You know, I just want to echo what everyone has said here, and just how, like we said, this is a year and a half in the making, and you know, there was a model that was here in place, and for one piece not to be in the model, then the whole thing collapses on itself. And so I want to congratulate all our staff and the staff of all the cities that were involved in staying at the table. There were several times that everybody just wanted to push away from the table and call it a day, and everybody would go their separate ways, and we would have had to totally change what we do here. But that didn't happen, and that just I just want a credit for, like I said, especially for our staff, for their stick-to-itness, and you know, we gave up a lot to make this thing work, to bring everybody together, and these are the type of things that we need to happen in our county. These are the type of collaborations that we need to all work together, and in the end, we all, our county ends up stronger for it. So I thank everybody for this. Okay, do we have a motion?
Make a motion to approve all staff recommendations.
A motion, do we have a second?
Second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you guys very much. Okay, we will move on to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development regarding the performance assessment of Stanislaus County's implementation of HUD funding for the Community Development Block Grant and the Emergency Solutions Grant programs for program year 2013.
Refer to the Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received a letter from the California Workforce Investment Board requesting input into the proposed regional planning units area for the state's strategic workforce development plan.
Refer to the Alliance Network and the San Jose Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
And this board has received a worker adjustment retraining notification letter from Ulm West Coast, Inc. regarding the closure of Ulm Spices and Vegetable Plant located at 705 East Whitmore Avenue in Modesto, where all employees will be subject to permanent layoffs that will begin around July 10th, 2015.
Refer to the Alliance Network and the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
And this board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Any Board of Supervisor reports? None.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Jim.
You must not look at your screen.
You know, I used to bug you because I would never even use the screen, and now I'm not looking at it when you're... Go ahead, Jim. I apologize.
I thought it was a handy tool. I just had one to mention that the Westside Healthcare Task Force is doing their first cooking class this weekend at Patterson High School. This is a healthy cooking class, trying to teach people how to cut down on calories but still cook a good meal. We're also doing health screening at the same time, and we're able to provide this class and the health screening at no cost to people. It's been paid for by the Healthcare Task Force, and it's member partners. We are partnering with a faith-based organization to put this class on. I think it's something we've been trying to get together for a couple of years. So it's finally coming together this weekend, 3 o'clock at Patterson High School Auditorium. And also, since I'm on the subject of the task force, we are doing, again this year, our West Side Walks at the high school tracks. This is a time where you can bring your friends or family out there and walk around the high school tracks each Wednesday evening from 6 to 8 o'clock for some exercise and keep in shape. And we're doing this in Newman, Patterson, and Gustine all simultaneously.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Jim. Anybody else? Okay. Legislative Fiscal and Management Report, CEO Risen.
Yes, the state governor... May revise is due out around May 14th, so we'll be watching that. The state has been receiving some good news on their revenue front. April receipts were $1.8 billion over projections. Year to date, the state is $3.4 billion over revenue projections. So that they have a lot of commitments with Prop 98 and the Rainy Day Fund and mandate repayment that will require much of that, but. We'll watch carefully the May revise, and hopefully that will be neutral or positive news for us. Earlier in the month, the State Water Resources Control Board issued curtailment notices to thousands of junior right holders. And we just heard that on Monday they expect to issue curtailment orders now to some of the state's most senior water right holders, effectively shutting off the flow of river water to some of our major agricultural districts in California. So we're kind of hitting unprecedented times, and Water Resources Control Board seems to be out there quite a ways on this issue. So concludes my report.
Thank you very much. There's nothing else. And this meeting is adjourned.